Good morning. This morning's message is your life in sync? What is sync? Well, there was a time when if somebody said, we want to get in sync, they were talking about let's synchronize our watches so that we're all on the same time frame. Sync has taken on an entirely different meaning now with our highly technological world in which we live. At this point in time, for example, I have a computer here at the church, I have a computer at home, and I have a Kindle, and I have a cell phone, and they're all in sync in my Bible reading. I went looking on the internet, and I haven't looked at any new cars yet, but I found by looking on that you can also synchronize your car to all your other devices. That gets kind of mind-blowing, particularly when Shelley and I are both reading through the Bible, and when we're not in sync, it shows me where she is in her Bible reading. And it asks, do you want to go where she is? And I say, no. Or yes, as the case may be. What does being in sync mean? It means to agree in time, to be simultaneous. To be in sync is to be on the same page. Maybe that's a phrase that we are more accustomed to. To be seeing things in the same light. This morning as we talk about being in sync, I hope that you'll follow along in your bulletin because I left some blanks there for you to fill in. The first one that is there is, are you in sync with God? So you can fill in that first blank by putting in the word God. Let me share something with this right up front. The reality is mankind, from the fall of Adam on, has not been in sync with God. The Bible says there's none righteous, not even one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man is not in sync with God. And the reality is, for every lost person, now hear me carefully, for every lost person, they cannot be in sync with God. I've had people tell me, well, I've got a deal worked out with the man upstairs. To which I say, you're deluded. They are not in sync with God. The natural man may try to convince us, oh yeah, I know what God is and who he is and what he does and what he is as far as how he works things out in man's life. That is not true. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but the natural man, that's the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So apart from salvation, apart from being born again, a person cannot be in sync with God. And the reality is, staying in sync with God is no small item. And the message that we're going to see as we look along is going to demonstrate that in a number of ways. If you look at the scripture reading that was shared for you this morning in Ephesians 5:1, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The word follower there in the Greek is mimetes, or an imitator. Paul is writing to believers there in the city of Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, and as he is speaking to them, he is challenging them that they need to be in sync with God, to imitate God, to be identical with God. And as we think in terms of that, that is no small challenge. In fact, the scripture uses the word walk three different special times in the passage that was read before you. Look at verse 2. It says, and walk in love. Verse 8, walk as children of light. Verse 15, walk circumspectly. As we think in terms of being in sync, how many of you enjoy seeing a band or a group of military people on drill? What's the one thing you will notice real quickly if they are not really a good group. Somebody's out of sync. And their mother is on the sidelines and says, everybody's out of step but my Johnny. That's not the way it works, okay? Everybody has to be in sync. And as we think in terms of what is being spoken of here, Paul is talking and challenging those believers that they're to walk in sync, be imitators of God. Now, here's something that's very interesting. In Matthew 5, verse 48, in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. How many of you think that's a pretty tall order? Being in sync with God is calling on perfection. Go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, because we have kind of a sister passage of sorts there. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Peter writes, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, not what you were before, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In other words, all of your behavior, your manner of life, how you live. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. There's a high, high expectation that is being presented there. And we would quickly say, in agreement with the song that the choir just sang, without him, what? We can do nothing. Without him, we cannot accomplish that call that is upon us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul writes to those believers in Corinth and says, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. It's the same Greek word, mimetes, means an imitator of me. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, be followers of me, how? Even as I follow Christ. Even as I am also of Christ. So you follow me as I follow Christ. And as we are challenged in our life, when we ask, are you in sync with God? That's what we're talking about. Being imitators of God, following in the way of the instruction of the apostles and the written word according to the very plan of God. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. That phrase, followers together, in the Greek is sumimetes, or it means co-imitators. Paul is saying, be co-imitators with me. You in the Philippian church, go, join together and imitate with me. As I follow Christ, you follow me. And that's the challenge that we have when it comes to being in sync with God. Looking to the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and the declaration that's given to us in the Word, striving by faith to walk in agreement with him. The next point on your outline, it says, are you in sync with, and fill in that blank, with the Spirit of God? That's Roman numeral 3. Are you in sync with the Spirit of God? In Ephesians chapter 5 again, verse 9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or demonstrating, manifesting what is acceptable unto the Lord. When we ask the question, are you in sync with the Spirit of God? How do you know when you're not in sync with the Spirit of God? Conviction. Conviction. There's a convicting work of the Spirit in our lives when we're out of sync with the Spirit. With what God is telling us by the Holy Spirit, we're convicted. And in that conviction, right then, we have a choice. And the choice is, will I obey? Will I get in sync? Or will I go on being miserable? A number of years ago, I read an illustration, and I've thought of it many times, regarding the issue of conscience. And a Native American, you have to be politically correct these days, but a Native American said, well, you know, what we believe about that matter of what the white man calls a conscience is that what a man has is he has a three-cornered triangle type thing in his heart. And when he does wrong or is not doing what he should and knows it, then that thing rotates and pokes him. And every time it pokes him, then he knows he needs to change. But then he said something else, and that is, until he's worn off all the points. Now listen to me. You know what the Scripture says? The Scripture says in the last days, one of the problems will be there will be people who have a seared conscience. In other words, they will do what is obviously wrong and it won't bother them. Their heart, as it were, their conscience has been cauterized, so much scar tissue in the process of disobedience that they can do it and no problem. And the Scripture addresses that in Isaiah chapter 5, what it's going to be like in the last day. Woe unto those that call bad good and good bad. Put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Black for white, white for black. And we look at our society today and see what is going on and we're saying, what is the matter with these people? Now we can understand those that are non-believers. They're not in sync with God. But we as believers have a huge challenge before us that we don't take on the ways of the world, but instead we walk as imitators of Christ, and as we do, we have a tender heart, a tender conscience. We are sensitive to the Spirit of God. We are commanded in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Every born-again believer has the Spirit of God living in them. And it is the Holy Spirit of God that guides us into all truth, teaches us, reveals the things of God, and stirs within us to show us when we're out of sync with God. And we're told, don't grieve the Spirit of God. When we have our own son or daughter, for example, or someone that we know that is out of sync with God, it grieves us. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we're out of sync with our Savior. We're out of sync with God. We're told, don't do that. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Secondly, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit of God. Quench not. When the Spirit of God is building a fire in you to say and do something, don't pour cold water on it. Don't quench the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God says, go talk to that person about Christ. Call that person about how they're doing. Write a letter. Whatever it might be, when the Spirit prompts us, if we quench the Spirit of God instead of being in obedience to the Spirit of God, then we are indeed quenching the Spirit of God. The power of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church in the first century was these people in the first century church. They were so in sync with the Spirit of God that they turned the world upside down. Revival, when it happens in a church, when it happens in a nation, produces that result of being in sync with the Spirit of God, and the result is awesome. The church is totally transformed by the process of people becoming sensitive to the Spirit. They come to the altar, they confess their sin, they forsake sin, they make restitution with their enemies, whatever it might be. And in their sensitivity, the free movement of the Spirit of God begins to move so mightily in the fellowship, in the church, that those outside, those unbelievers, see the church in a new light and say, whatever they got, we need some of that. How many think we could use revival in our land today? It'll happen as we get back in sync with the Spirit of God. The fourth point is, are you in sync with the Word of God? With the Word of God. Now, I recognize something, and you already probably have, and that is that each one of these is interconnected with each of the others. This is not multiple choice. Okay? You can't say, I'm in sync with God, but I'm out of sync with the Spirit, but I'm okay. You can't say, I'm in sync with the Spirit, but I'm out of sync with the Word of God, and it's okay. No. Each of these is connected with the other. You can't disconnect them. In Ephesians 5, there, verse 13 and 14, it says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The Word of God is repeatedly identified as light. For example, in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? Light unto my path." Verse 130, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Excuse me, the 130 is, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." Proverbs 6:23, "For the commandment," the word of God, "is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." God's word is a light. And this passage that we read here, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, the preaching of God's word. The giving of God's word brings light upon a subject. And when that light comes upon a subject, then the individual is going to respond one way or the other. Because you see, it's the word that brings conviction by the Spirit of God. So when the Spirit of God is saying, this is what you need to do, if you say no, you grieve or quench the Spirit of God accordingly. And here's how that process breaks down in our own life. It's interesting, of course, to recognize that not only is the word light, but Christ said, "I am the what of the world? I am the light of the world." And as the light of the world, the Bible says Christ came in as the light of the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Let me ask you, why is there such an offense against Christians and Bible-believing, speaking people in our society today? Why don't they want us to say anything about what the Word of God says about the various cultural subjects that are going on? Because when the light comes on, oops, that creates a problem. Friends, listen to me. You still have, and I still have, a responsibility, and that's to shine the light. Because not only did Jesus say, "I am the light of the world," what did he say about us as believers? You are the light of the world. And a city that is up here on top of a mountain cannot be hid. Neither do men take a light and put it under a bushel. But what do? They put it up that it might be seen. Now, I could get carried away right here, so I'm going to try to be real careful and not go too far. But what has happened in Indiana has really ticked me off. Okay? What is going on as different attempts have been made by different state legislatures to communicate that we have, according to the First Amendment of our Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, we have freedom to exercise our faith, okay? Freedom of speech, freedom of exercise of religion. And here's the interesting thing. As we purpose to be light, as we purpose to be in sync with the light and with the Word of God, as we proclaim that, they are shouting us down and saying, "Shut up. Go back in your church and hide. We don't want you out here." You know why? Because the light reproves their sin. They don't want that light shining on them. They want to put out the light, and they're working overtime to accomplish that. You know what our responsibility is? Are you going to be in sync with God and the Spirit and His Word, or are you going to try to get in sync with the world? Because if you get in sync with the world, you're out of sync with God. We've got to stand where we must stand according to God. If he's going to declare to us, "Be perfect as I am perfect," then we have a challenge to step to that mark by his grace. In James 1, verse 22, it said, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." Being in sync with the word means that we do it. Being doers and not hearers. Oh yeah, I know what the word says, but let me ask you a question. According to James 4:17, if you know what you're supposed to do and you don't do it, what does the Bible say it is? It's sin. How many believe that this morning? Let's try one more time. How many believe that this morning? There's one or two that don't believe that. It is true. If you know to do good and you don't do it, You're out of sync with the Word of God. And the Bible says it is sin. You say, well, Pastor, you don't want to do those kind of things that might offend someone else. Friends, are you going to be in sync with God? Or are you going to be out of sync with God? We have those hard choices to make on a daily basis. It's interesting that in Luke 6:46, the Lord said this, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Let me ask you, what's the answer to that question? We're out of sync. We're being in disobedience to God. There's no other way to say it. Matthew 28, verse 20, in the Great Commission, he sends the disciples, and ultimately us as well, says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Teaching them to observe. That was the discipleship responsibility, to be doers so that they'd be in sync with God's word. Now listen to this next passage. It's from Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and 48, because it's going to slop over into the next point on our outline. But it's interesting that if you don't have a walking in sync with the Spirit and the Word, you'll not be walking in sync with what this reflects. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. I want you to notice that they're both going to get beaten with stripes. Okay? There's punishment in both cases. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men will have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now it says here in the beginning of this verse, and that servant which knew his Lord's will. Let me ask you, how can you know the Lord's will? By reading his word. By reading his word. So each of these, as I say, builds upon the next. So in Roman numeral 5, are you in sync with the will of God? With the will of God. Look at verse 15 of Ephesians 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, buying back the time, making the best use of the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Next verse. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what? What the will of the Lord is. Now, one aspect of the Lord's will is revealed in verse 18. Look at that real quick. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay? If we're filled with the Spirit, then we will be in sync with the Spirit. Are you in agreement? And if we're in sync with the Spirit, we will also be in sync with the Word of God. And if we're in sync with the Word of God, we'll get in sync with the will of God for our lives. That's God's plan and how he desires to work it out within our life. In John chapter 7, verse 16 and 17, Jesus answered them. He's speaking now to the Jewish leadership. They were challenging as to where he got his authority and why he was teaching what he was teaching and so forth. And Jesus said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, the Father's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus in sync with his Father? Absolutely. In fact, Christ declared, "Everything the Father has given me to do, I've done." How many of you realize that if that were not true, he could not be our Savior? He could not be our Savior. He did everything that the Father sent him to do, including going to the cross and dying in our place, because that was the Father's will. Remember what he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He went all the way. Now, therefore, when we look at this, Jesus said, "My doctrine is not mine, but it's his that sent me." For you and for me this morning, we need to recognize that our doctrine, what we live and breathe and teach and share, must be also the Father's and also the Son's and in sync with the Spirit and in sync with the Word of God. It'll all be together. Romans 12:2, you're familiar with. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. What are you renewing your mind to? The Word of God. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, practically demonstrated by living it out, what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. Perfect will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If we're going to be in sync with the with the will of God, then that means that our body, being the temple of God, is in agreement with God and what God has called us to do and be and how we would represent him. I want to quickly add something, okay? I want to move this beyond, quote, just theoretical into the practical. And I recognize, even as I preach this message, that I nor the rest of us are there yet. Are you in agreement with me? None of us are perfectly in sync? Yeah. But what do we do? Say, oh, well, I tried. That's good enough. Or do we purpose in our heart to, as far as lies within us and in our renewal with our relationship with the Lord on a daily basis, to live in fellowship with him in all aspects that we've spoken of up to this point in time? Roman numeral 6, are you in sync with the family of God? Are you in sync with the family of God? Now, Ephesians 5, I want to take us to verse 7. And this is kind of a negative application of what I'm talking about when I'm asking if we're in sync with the family of God. Verse 7 says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Who are them? Well, let's go back to verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, saints who are in sync with God, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient or proper or appropriate, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And now he says, and don't you be partakers with them. For you were, the next word says sometimes, it means once or once upon a time, you were darkness. But now are you light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And this is what we've addressed already. Verse 11. But have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what? Reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And so as we look to the issue of are we in sync with the family of God, the challenge that we need to recognize is that there is to be a difference between the family of God and the world. The family of God, the church of Jesus Christ, are the called out ones. Where have we been called out of? The world. The world. There is to be a difference between us and them. Our values, our goals, our purposes, all the aspects of our life would be different from those of the world. And furthermore, this is heavy stuff, but it says if we're going to be in sync with him, then we're going to have to purposely be in sync with them. Don't be partakers of them in their evil ways. But instead, our purpose is to get in sync with God and with the family of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Paul addresses some people he's never met before, and he calls them to be in sync with the family of God. In chapter 15, verse 5 and 6, also in Romans, he says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, being in sync with the family of God. Look at verse 32 of chapter 4 there in Ephesians. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even how? As God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Get in sync with the family of God. Let me share something with you that I think that we each in our own way need to seriously think about. Friends, I believe with all my heart that persecution of the church is increasing and will increase all the more as we move further into the last days. And one of the things that I further believe as I read almost on a daily basis of the persecution that's going against the church in other parts of the world is that those people that are in that persecution, they rather amazingly come in sync with other members of the family of God. It's a divine thing. It's a miraculous thing. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Except it be a work of God, the tendency would be, I'm going to report Jim if I can get out from under the possibility of something bad happen to me. I'm going to report Billy and sick him on him rather than me take the price of what will happen. I'm reading through a devotional every night before I go to bed. I'm not sure whether that's the best time or the worst time to read it, but it's a extreme devotion is what it's called. And it identifies believers around the world and gives specific testimonies of their lives and how they have suffered for the cause of Christ. And the other night I was reading one and it just grips your heart. And you ask yourself the question, how far am I from being in sync with God in such a way? Here were families that were brought in. And as they were brought in, the parents were threatened that if they didn't deny Christ, their children would be killed right before their very eyes. And the parents could not and did not. And then the parents were laid down and smashed under a heavy piece of equipment like you were rolling out dirt on a highway and crushing it in. But you know, listen to me. The parents and the children, in the process of going to their death, were singing the praises of God. Friends, we need to be at sync with the family of God that says if you take one of us, you take us all. If by taking my life someone else would be spared, I'm willing to do that. Because I want to be in sync with God. And I'm willing to suffer even as Christ suffered for my sake and give my life for another. But you know what? Over and over again, the wicked people, whether it's in communist China or communist Russia or Romania or in Muslim countries, wherever it might be, they don't operate on the same basis that we do. But you know what's amazing? Oft times, and the witnesses in these different testimonies oft times, when they see how the family of God is so in sync with God, some of those same ones end up crying out for salvation because they see something supernatural. And that's what needs to be seen. I'm hearing and I'm reading things day by day that are so powerful regarding the fact that there's a call for the church to stand up against these lies and the deception and the abuses that are going on in our society. To do that, we need to be in sync with God, and we need to be in sync with one another. And as we are, God will use it for good. You can't be in sync with the world and with God at the same time. In this passage that we're looking at, Ephesians 5, verse 7 says, "Be not ye partakers with them." Verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." We were once darkness, but we're now light. We cannot have that walk in arm with them and have the same value system that they have, because we've been brought out of that by salvation. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The beloved apostle John writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." It is the will of God that we abide in Christ. It is the will of God that we are separated from the world. Now listen to me. When I'm talking about separated from the world, I'm not talking about unwilling to witness to the world. That is a command. If we're in sync with God, we will witness to the world. We will tell them the truth. We'll call them to salvation and repentance. That is the will of God. But we don't sell out our faith in order to, quote unquote, win their favor, because in doing so, we have gotten out of sync with God, with his spirit, with his will, and with his word, and with his very plan for our life. Go with me also, if you would, to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 1 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it in your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." How many of you believe that that is true? That's what the word says. That's what the word says. To be the friend of the world is to be the enemy of God. Now, again, I repeat, that doesn't mean that we're not willing to try to bring them out of darkness, bring them out of their lost condition. We do that not by becoming like them. We do that by sharing with them the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to share the truth with them. So, Roman numeral 8, what or how does a person get in sync with God? How is it possible to get in sync with God? Well, for the lost man, the Bible says you must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5, Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "I know that you're a man sent from God, because no man can do what you do except he be sent from God." And Jesus, knowing what Nicodemus' heart was, said to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit." In other words, a divine work must take place in your life. And Nicodemus couldn't get it. He says, "You mean a man has to enter back into his mother's womb and be born a second time? And that's not possible." Jesus said, are you a spiritual leader and you don't understand such things? If you don't understand this kind of a thing. How can you really get into the deeper things of God? You must be born again. Now, I want to emphasize something and remind you of this, because we addressed it last Sunday. Nicodemus was with Joseph of Arimathea when the body of Christ was taken down off the cross. Something happened in Nicodemus' life, didn't it? Nicodemus came out of the Sanhedrin. He walked away from what was his security and his identity, and he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And we don't know. Heaven one day will record what he might have given up in the process or what price he might have paid for having taken that step of faith in Jesus Christ. But if you're going to be in sync with God, then you got to get out of sync with the, in this case, the religious system, Judaism, that he was a part of. And he came out of that and was born again and identified with Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that when we are saved, if therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And in that newness, now we have a completely different life and lifestyle that is ours. Not that we're perfected on day one, as far as our external practices, but God is in the process of doing a work in us to make us more and more and more to be imitators of his. Go with me one more time to John and his writing, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse 5. As you're going there, I want to remind you of something. The Apostle John, at this moment in time, is the only apostle still alive. This Apostle John had been boiled in oil in an attempt to kill him, but God protected him. He was a pastor in Ephesus. We're reading about the book of Ephesus and Paul's letter to the church there. This Apostle John is about 90 years of age at this point in time. He had been called one of the sons of thunder. He had been the one that says, are we to call down fire to burn these guys up? He had had a hot head and a rather rousty kind of a spirit at one point in time. But we find him described as the apostle that Jesus loved, the disciple that Jesus loved. And in his epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, we find there a man of great tenderness and great love. And listen to what he says, beginning there with verse 5. He says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is what? No darkness at all. So if we're going to be in sync with God, who is light, where will we not be? In the darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we're walking in sync with him, and walk in darkness, what are we doing? We're lying. We're lying to ourselves. We're not doing the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Now notice what it says. With whom? With one another. Now we will have it with him, but we will also have it with one another. We'll be in sync with the family as we walk together in this light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin continuously. As we walk and as we purpose to live and imitate him. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, what's our problem? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. However, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Excuse me. As we look at what John is telling us here and what he would tell us if he were present with us here today, he would call us to be in sync with God. And all the points that we've addressed, to be in sync with God. Is that easy? Is that difficult? Are there pressures that yank you about and interfere with that? Yeah. all of us would have to be honest and admit, I wish I were always in sync. Many of us would have to say, sometimes I'm like that one guy in the marching band that just hasn't got it together. But the good news, friends, is this. If we confess our sin, if we admit I'm out of sync, then what is God faithful and just to do? Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Excuse me. If we say it's not me out of sync, it's everybody else out of sync, the Bible says we're deceiving ourselves. So we have a responsibility and a privilege and a challenge, and that is to get into the Word of God, to listen to the Spirit of God, to find the will of God, and to live in sync with the family of God. And in doing so, what a blessing will continually be ours. Excuse me. This morning, if anybody's out of sync, it takes that long to get back in sync. We just have to agree with God. And he doesn't say, all right, I'm just going to watch you for 6 months and see whether you really shape up or not. He is faithful and just right then to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because Christ died to pay for our sin those times when we were out of sync with him. But we got to get back in agreement with him. And as we do, he is faithful, he is just, he will forgive. And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, he will continually cleanse us and keep us walking closer and closer to him, day by day, as we draw closer to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're very aware the only one who was never out of sync with you was Jesus Christ. Lord, I confess in my own life how easy it is to get out of step, get out of sync. I acknowledge, Lord, how easy it is for me to say it's everybody else out of step, not me. For that, I thank you, Father, that as I confess and forsake that, there is mercy. Father, I thank you that as we get in sync with you, we get in sync with one another. And we are tremendously blessed because your love flows bountifully in and through and among us, and you are glorified. I thank you, Father, that as the church in the New Testament, that first century church, your word says, as they were in sync with you, you were adding to the church daily such as were being saved. In spite of the persecution that came against the church, people still wanted to be in the church because they saw something that was not possible in the world. Lord, our world's a mess. And Father, it's sad but true that too much of the church has become part of the world, and the world has become too much a part of the church. Lord, may we forsake that. May we come back to where we need to be, and to walk, and to live, and to proclaim, Lord, the truths that cause us to be in sync with you and with one another. By your Spirit, move in our midst. Lord, if there's anything we need to say and do, we can come to the altar, and you're here to meet us. You're here to restore. You're here to send us away walking in sync with you, even as we walk in sync with one another. Have your perfect will, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your hymnals to our closing hymn. Closing hymn. Let's stand and sing together hymn number 412, Stepping in the Light. Let's stand.